I love that song. The Lord is my shepherd. If you will, turn your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we have the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin. And they got whipped bad in the last chapter. Of course, you'll have to go back and read it yourself, because I ain't going to read it for you. But Jesus whipped them bad in the last chapter. So they come up this next day, and they're doing their very best to try to find something that they can accuse Jesus of. Some way, some order that they can make Jesus look like he's against the law, that he's against Moses, that he's not what he's supposed to be. He's a false teacher. You can't have it both ways, as we said this morning. You can't serve the government and serve Moses and serve everybody. But Jesus here did not come to this earth to be a magistrate over human affairs. Jesus came to this earth to save sinners. Jesus came to this earth as the Savior. Jesus did not come to this earth to get tied up in legal things. And that's what the law is about, legal things. But yet he has to be in agreement with Moses and the law. So they try to catch him here where they make him try to get him to be where he makes a judgment, where they can throw something against him. Because if he makes a judgment for Moses, then boy, he's a law hard and this, that, and the other. But if he makes a judgment for just turning this lady loose, then he doesn't agree with Moses and the law, so he's in a pickle. Or at least they think they got him in a pickle. Of course, everybody always thought they had Jesus in a pickle. If we go to the very last part of this chapter, when it talks about them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it says that they said they were Abraham's children. And he talks about in that verses 44, it says, "And ye are of your father the devil." Not meaning that physically the father of the devil, but they acted just like the devil's people. They acted just like a devil's child. "He was a murderer from the beginning." Well, if you think about what these Sadducees and all trying to do, they're trying to get Jesus in a place where somebody will stone him or kill him for being a false teacher. So they're doing the work of the devil right here. They're against Jesus. They're doing and the devil was a murderer from the. The first thing the devil does, well, the very first thing the devil does is he lied. He lied. What did he do about Adam and Eve? He was a murderer from the beginning. He lied to Eve to cause her to eat of the fruit, causing the human race to die. He caused death on the human race. He tricked them, he lied to them, he deceived them. She was caught in the deception, but Adam ate willingly. And it caused death to the human race. First of all, it says, "You are of your father the devil, and from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because the truth was not in him." And I'm going to tell you, young men, young ladies, and all these folks, that in this first part of this thing, if you follow the lies of the devil, you're going to do these things that we taught about in Sunday school, the pride of life, the pride of the world, all these things that goes on, the lust of the flesh. So let's go back and start again. I'm going to get to 44 after a while. But it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, where he prayed and studied and got along with God the Father and got his strength back together. And early in the morning, he came into the temple. What if we had services every morning early in the morning? How many folks would show up, you reckon? But it says he came into the temple early in the morning. Of course, we don't know what time early was, but early to me is like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, but you know, y'all get up when you get ready. You retired folks might not get up to 9 or 10. I don't know. Early in the morning, he went into the temple. And he sat down, which was his way of teaching. He was used to sitting down, and the people stood around, listened to him, and he taught them. His disciples came, and the people who had believed on Jesus Christ came, and they were all there to hear what he had to say in the morning early. That's the best time to get along with God, early in the morning. say your prayers before the devil done got a hold of you too much. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, and they might have an occasion against him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which were heard it, being convicted by their own consciences, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman. He said unto the woman, Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Now, let's go back and chew on some of this a little bit before we go back to 44. But it says, Jesus is in the temple. He's in there preaching, his daily preaching, talking about all the great things of God and the kingdom of God and repent and believe in the kingdom that's coming. He was doing those things. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, we caught this woman in the very act. Now, I want you to understand that there was a law in Leviticus that said that if you catch a wife or whatever, you'd take her to the temple, they would uncover her head, they would give her some holy water, and if she was really guilty or whatever, then her stomach would, or her legs would rot, and different things would take place in her life. But the sin of adultery was so rampant in Israel at that time that the Pharisee, the priest, had quit using the holy water. Because even the sin of adultery had already crept into the Sanhedrin and into the temple people. And so we see here that because of that going on, the men were as guilty as the women, so they had backed off of the law a little bit. And because they had backed off the law a little bit, they're saying here, okay, now if Jesus says stone her right off the bat, then he is going to be worse than what we are in our traditions and stuff, because in our traditions, we at least forgive them after the first or second time before we start talking about doing any bad things to them. We don't even give the holy water anymore because adultery is rampant, pretty much. Have you ever noticed in our TV shows that adultery is rampant?
Yeah.
I know y'all watch TV. You ain't got to fool me. Do you notice that the good guys nowadays tell lies? The good guys or the hero in the shows commit adultery? And nobody thinks twice, well, he's the hero.
Yeah.
And she's the heroine. It's okay that they're not married, but, you know, they're in the throes of fighting and everything, and adultery's okay. However, show has lying as being the principal thing. Just a few years back, the good guy would have never done that.
Right.
Not that we were super holy in America or anything, but the Long Ranger would have never committed adultery. Not back 60 years ago or 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Roy Rogers would have never committed adultery. Gene Autry would have never committed adultery. Now you say, well, we know what he watches. But what I'm saying is the old heroes didn't break the law to get right. The old heroes didn't violate all these things. They were moral, had moral character, moral standing, moral things going on. Well, in this place in Jerusalem at this time, all morality was gone too. And so they're trying to catch Jesus. Well, if he's a stickler to the law, if we were a stickler to the law, all the heroes now, they'd be in jail with the criminals. Because they're all lawbreakers. They're all morally corrupt. Corrupt. So it says here, and they set this woman in the midst. And we called her, and they says, And Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You got to be pretty close to something. And if you hadn't set it up or contrived it to happen, you had to be pretty close to something to know if you've caught somebody in the very act. So they says, we've caught this woman in the very act. There's no doubt about it. We know she is guilty. We might even have set it up to cause her to be guilty. They just had a feast in town. They might have made sure she got in the merriment and got a little bit too much to drink or too much of this. They made sure that she was weak, and they made sure that she got caught. Now, there's two laws in the Old Testament. If the woman was betrothed, that means she hadn't been married and consummated the marriage yet. If she was betrothed, they stoned her. Now, if she was married, then they strangled them. And then they got to the point where if we strangle everybody for this thing, there wouldn't be nobody left because they were doing it so badly. So they sit in here, we've got away from the holy water thing and all that because even the priests and the Sanhedrin are even caught in this sin of adultery. So they're trying to really catch Jesus up in something that they themselves sort of condone or let slide, or the law's a little bit loose. But he says, she was taken in the very act. Now Moses, not them, but Moses, their traditions where we let people slide. And Moses in the law commanded us, saying that she should be stoned. But what say thou? But what say thou, Jesus? What you going to do with this, Jesus? We've caught her in the very act. We know what she was doing. And the law of Moses, the law that you should be standing by if you're from God, if you're with God, what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have an occasion. In other words, if he goes with all the way to the strictness of Moses, she gets stoned right here and there. And yet our traditions and the Roman government will not let us take the law into our hands and kill her. So he goes beyond the law. He goes against Rome. He goes against the things that are the traditions. And so if he says, yeah, stone her, then he went too far. But if he says, oh man, everybody does it, then he goes against God. So if you're catching out of this, I'm saying everybody just go and do what you're going to do because it's okay. Don't do that. First of all, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ died for the sin of adultery. Jesus Christ died for the sin of lying. Jesus Christ died for the sin of murder. Jesus Christ died for the sin of covetousness. Jesus Christ died for the sin of disobeying your parents. Jesus Christ died for sins. So if you come across it, well, Charlie says it's okay to do all these things because everybody else does it, you mustn't misunderstand totally, because Jesus Christ, our Savior, died for every single one of these. And He's the one who can save you and forgive you for every single one of these. Not that we should go out and sin some more, because if He says here, go out and sin no more, He didn't say, well, you've been forgiven, so go back after what you're doing. No. So don't go there with that. It says, Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now I'm wondering if he was writing out these laws about the strangling or the stoning, or maybe he was writing down their traditions, or maybe he was writing just, because in Jeremiah it says, those who have gone out from me will be written in the dirt, and they would have knew the Old Testament stuff. So he's sitting there writing their names possibly in the dirt, and they're sitting here thinking about Jeremiah saying, if we've gone away from God, our names will be written in the dirt. And he's sitting there stooping down, writing in the dirt. There's any number of things he could have been writing. He could have been writing all the sins. He could have been writing the Ten Commandments for all we know. But he acted like he didn't hear them. He's letting them sit there and say, man, we've got him. He doesn't know what to say. We're going to keep pushing at him, and we're going to keep chewing at him until we make him, force him into saying something that he's not going to need to say. And he's writing on the ground as though he heard them not. You ever notice when we mess up, God's quiet with us, waiting for us to make another move or say what we're going to say or get right or whatever? So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin. That didn't mean he who's sinless, but that he who is without any gross sin, fornication, adultery, robbery, stealing, lying, beating somebody up. Anybody who's without sin, because we know all have sinned. Anybody who's without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. So right off the bat, he says, okay, guys. Moses says, stone them. I'm not saying stone her, but I'm saying because Moses has said stone her. First of all, it's supposed to be two witnesses, right? Who are supposed to do it first. Where's your two witnesses? He who's without sin. Okay, we have to have a sinless party to take care of this thing. You guys who are without sin, whoever the first one of y'all is, you be the first one to throw a rock. And then he stoops back down. And he starts writing in the ground again. This time he might have been saying, Charlie did such and such last week. So and so did so and so and so and so the week before. So and so and so and so. And they're looking down there and they're trying to think about how spiritually super they are and how legal they are and how religious they are, and their hearts are being convicted by how their traditions have messed up the actual Word of God and twisted it all up for their own benefit. And they're sitting there watching him stoop down, and he wrote on the ground, and they which heard it. Have you ever heard anybody write? I know you can hear the pencils on the paper, but have you ever heard anybody write? But it says, and they that heard it. Here he is writing on the ground. Here's what Charlie did, or here's what so-and-so did, or here's what such-and-such did. And they hear it. The conviction of God is as loud as it can get to a person that belongs, you know. The conviction of God, or the rule of God, is as loud as it can. It's like ringing a bell. You know when you violated the rule. You know when you broke the law. You know when you're guilty. And they heard it. Being convicted by their own consciences. Jesus didn't sit there, well, you know what you did, and you know what you did, and you know what you did. No, he's sitting there, he hasn't even opened his mouth. He's just scribbling on the ground. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart and all the mind and all thy soul. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All those things right there. And their hearts are being convicted. And they went out one by one, starting with the older. Why the older? Because the older should be a little smarter, a little wiser maybe. They've been around a little bit longer. And they says, you know what? He's right. We are a bunch of sinners. We are a bunch of folks who have twisted up the law. We are a bunch of folks who have violated the rules. And here we are with a big old beam in our eye, trying to get Jesus to stone this lady who has a little mote in hers. That's basically what the story is. They were so envious and so angry with Jesus, they wouldn't even look at their own sins. They wouldn't even look at their own weaknesses. They wouldn't even look at their own things, because they could not stand that God would rule over them, that God would send His Son to save them. They would not give up what they had. And when they heard it, they were convicted of their own conscience, and went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even at the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So here we are. Now we have Jesus and the woman. And I'm sure the crowd of believers are still out there, but the ones who brought the woman in, the ones who were trying to stir things up, they had left. They had got back out of the way. Oh boy, let's get out of here before we really get in trouble. He says, and Jesus looked up and saw no one but the woman. Now, he could have said, you know, woman, you're a downright sinner. You were caught in adultery, and you deserve to be stoned, and you deserve this, and you deserve that. But he didn't do that either, because he wasn't here to condemn the world. He was here to save the sinners from the world. He says, woman, that's a nice way. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Where are those thine accusers? Where are the folks who brung you up in here? Where are the folks who wanted you stoned to death? Where are those folks who were so self-righteous and so full of themselves that they figured that you should be stoned? Where are they at? And it brings me to a verse in Romans that says, God be for you, who can be against you? if God has saved you, who can bring a judgment against you? And he says, woman, where are thy accusers? In Christ Jesus, we have no accusers. I know Satan's called the accuser. Satan goes up, tries to pick on us all the time, but Jesus says, not him, he's mine. But the thing is, where's your accusers at? Hath no man condemned thee? Now, they brought him in. They wanted to have a trial. They wanted to have this stoned. But yet, during their thing, all the witnesses seemed to have backed out and run off and tuck tail. Because you see, these witnesses were just as guilty of sin as this lady was. Maybe a different sin, maybe the same sin, but these witnesses were every bit as guilty or every bit as sinful. And now they could have brought her to a legal trial, but Jesus wasn't there for a legal trial. That wouldn't have been his job. He wasn't a magistrate. He wasn't somebody in authority. He wasn't a judge. He wasn't one of those people that worked for the government. He was just a prophet, a preacher of God, a preacher of righteousness. And so they brought to him what they should have brought her to somewhere else if they were going to really, truly try to get her for adultery. But instead, they were trying to get Jesus. They were trying to twist up Jesus. Now, I don't know if you thought about it much, but you ain't twisting up Jesus. Even me and you, we can stand for God. Oh, God, well, you know, this is just the way I am. You know, God, I just have these faults, and I just, you know, we can make those excuses all we want, but that won't float in front of Jesus. We won't be able to stand in front of Jesus and say, well, you know, they tricked me and deceived me and did all these things. No. Even Eve, the serpent, he deceived me. He beguiled me. Shouldn't I be able to go free? And then Adam says, the woman that thou gavest me. Wow. Should I go free? You see, our excuses will not stand up in front of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. At the judgment, at the end. None of our excuses will stand up. Only what Jesus Christ has covered with his blood. He says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Well, they were all as guilty as she was. Probably more guilty because they had contrived this thing to set it up to get Jesus. I'm going to say this. If you try to connive something against God to prove a point, it ain't going to work for you. And she said, no man. Lord. Well, that's a key word. Lord. I know who you are. No man. Lord. You're not just a high priest or a high prophet. You're Lord. No man. In other words, you can bring all your written accusations against me you want to, but I'm in Christ Jesus. I have been saved by the blood. I've been washed in the blood. Yes, I do have to repent for my sins. But at the judgment seat, God's not going to say, bring all them guys in here to tell you about Charlie. No, no man's going to be there. No man's going to be there because I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins are under the blood. There's no man that can accuse you because it's all been placed under. Now, if you're an unbeliever, then there's going to be plenty of accusation there, but we still won't need any men there. Jesus Christ is going to open up the books at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to look at the names, and he's going to look at all the things, and I guarantee you there's not going to be a misprint or a error in there. He's going to see. First of all, he's going to look if your name is written in the book of life. Well, nope, he ain't there. I took care of that right off the bat. But after that, he's going to look at all the things you did. Not only the things you did, but the things you know. What do you know about God? What do you know about Jesus? What have you heard? What have you rejected? See, even those things will go against you at the great white throne judgment if you're not a believer. God's going to say, you knew all this about my son and still you rejected. Whew. No help for that one. And then he's going to say, now, yeah, you were a liar, a thief, a stealer, this. He's going to cover all those things. But he's going to look at, what did you do with my son? How much knowledge did you have? You see, even God can judge us on how much knowledge, because he knows exactly what we know. I hear people all the time say, well, what about that poor guy over in Africa? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, let's get that off the table. Because I don't know what the poor guy in Africa knows, but he's going to be judged on what he knows. On the other hand, you're going to be judged on what you know. And it's going to be what you know is where you're going to stand in the judgment there. Then he says, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, because he didn't come to condemn the world at that time, "Neither do I condemn thee." But he didn't tell her, "Go keep doing what you've been doing," though. He didn't say, "It'll be okay, it's all right, you just keep, que sera, sera." He says, "I condemn thee, do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That's the same thing he told that guy in chapter 5. Go and sin no more. In other words, when we're forgiven, when we've been given that new place, he doesn't say, "Now you're free to sin all you want, because I'm okay with sin." He is not okay with sin. He is not okay with my little lies, my big lies, or whatever I think about, whatever. He is not okay with sin. He died for sin. Sin caused death in man. He is not okay with sin. He says, "Go and sin no more." He didn't say, "Oh, lady, you know, I know how it is." No. "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." You see, every sin that we do was applied to Jesus Christ, nailed to that cross. And when it says nailed to that cross, that means Jesus Christ Himself, nailed to that tree, became sin. He became sin. Every one of my sins, every one of your sins was on that cross, nailed to it. And if you're born again, blood bought, redeemed, they're all covered by the blood. He says, then spake Jesus unto them, he says, "I am the light of the world." That doesn't mean I saved everybody in the world. That doesn't mean he gave everything to everybody. But he says, "I am the light. I gave you life. I gave you conscience. I gave you something to go by. I gave you enough understanding to understand right from wrong." He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." In other words, if you're redeemed, if you've been blood bought, if you've been born again, your life must change from the way you used to be to a different walk. If you used to be a hellraiser and a rebel and everything else, if you've actually been born again, those things should cease and you should be walking the newness of life. He says, "I am the light. He that followeth me," not he that has an understanding, he that knows me, just like it says, "he that doeth the law." No, he that heareth the law but doesn't do it. The Bible says we must do. If you've been born again, if you have any knowledge about right and wrong, if you have any knowledge of righteousness, we do not continue in that old way, because Jesus says, "If you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, you follow off what's wrong." But you see, we have some folks. We'll go back to 44 now. Let's go back to 41. "37 would be even better." We could just read the whole chapter. He says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me." He's talking about the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He says, "You claim to be Abraham's seed. And I know you're of the lineage and all this, that, and the other, but you seek to kill me. And why do you seek to kill me? Because my words have no place in you." Oh, I pray today that the words of God would have a place in every single person here. I pray that the word of God would grow in every single person here. He says, "They plan to kill Christ because His words were not in them. See, I speak that which I see of my Father, and ye do not that which you see with your Father." In other words, my Father is love and peace and life. And your Father, talking about the devil, is a murderer. Your Father has nothing to do with me. Your Father doesn't want anything to do with the things of God. Your Father would love to see me dead. and get rid of me so y'all could keep doing the things y'all been doing, your traditions and your stuff that keeps on going. He says, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would have do the works of Abraham. In other words, Abraham, when he heard the preaching of Jesus Christ, he repented and came to God. Abraham, the work of Abraham was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of Abraham, when God says, one day there's going to be a Savior, and he's coming out of your bloodline, and he's a praise God, hallelujah. He was glad to hear it. He wasn't saying, well, man, this guy's going to want to rule over me and tell me to do this and tell me to do that. No, he says, I'm glad to hear it. He was happy. But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth. You know, when I was a lost man, when somebody would tell me the truth about Jesus Christ, it made me angry. Because it caused me to be in a position where I had to say, yes, Lord, or I'll not have this man to rule over me. I have no control over that because I wasn't born again. But the fact is, even the Word of God on an unregenerated person brings anger. They can't stand the fact that God is in control. They can't stand the fact that God has all power. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do my own thing. When I get ready for God, I'll let Him know. That's what these guys were. When we get ready for God, we'll tell Him to come on back. He said, now you seek to kill me because I have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, when Abraham heard the truth, when Abraham heard about Jesus Christ, Abraham rejoiced and was happy and glad. But when the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and those guys heard about Jesus Christ, they got angry and mad and they wanted to kill the truth teller. You do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born in fornication. In other words, we've been Hebrews all of our life. We weren't born in fornication. We have one Father, even God. Well, if they had God as their Father, they would have enjoyed Jesus and believed on Jesus. But they followed after the devil and his crowd. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father... He's pretty plain there. He knows, if God were your Father, ye would love me. Believe me, before salvation, I was not in love with Jesus Christ. Neither was anybody else in here. You might have had a form of religion or whatever, but you never were in love with Jesus Christ until God loved you first. It says, if God were your Father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. In other words, if you really thought you loved God, if you truly loved God, then when you heard what I had to say about God and about what's happening, you would have been excited. You would have been in love. You'd have been wanting some of this. This is a hard one here. Y'all read it close. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. It doesn't mean you can't hear, but there's no depth in what you get. There's nothing to it. To you, it's just words. To you, it's just hocus pocus. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Everybody here speaks English, right? Is there anybody here that don't speak English? Everybody here understands my words. You can take a dictionary and look up everything I've said this morning. He says, why do you not understand my words or my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. That doesn't mean the father is actually physically your father, but the fact is you're doing the devil's crowd's work. You're doing just like the devil does. The devil and the lust of the devil. It says lust here, but the lust of the devil, first of all, his first lust was to kill mankind, to lie to mankind. He says, you have your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. The devil has never been a nice guy. And all this stuff on TV that they're showing every day, believe me, the devil's loving all that stuff. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you watch TV and you watch adultery all night long, adultery don't seem so bad after a while. If you watch the good guys lying and stealing and cheating all day long, you understand that lying and stealing and cheating is an okay thing. The devil would like to corrupt our minds and bring us to the place where just everyday life has no moral standing. You have to guard these things, folks. I have to guard these things, because if I watch too much of this stuff, I can get laxed in this stuff and say, oh, that was just a little skin, and the next time, well, just a little more skin, and pretty soon, a lot of skin doesn't offend you anymore. I can remember way, way, way back where the ladies wore their stuff all the way down. If they showed an ankle, it was like, whew, did you see that? Well, man, nowadays they show everything they got. And it doesn't even affect, we don't even get a good blush out of folks. He says, now three, mind you. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. The devil ain't going to tell you the truth. The devil ain't going to tell you, if you follow me, you're going to go to hell. No, the devil's going to tell you, you have all the fun you want. You watch all the TV, you listen to all the rap songs, you watch all the magazines, you do whatever you want. It's going to all be okay because God so loved you. He won't judge you. He won't put you down. He's not going to be angry with you. He knows what you are. That's what the devil would tell you. The devil would say, it's okay. He's just a big grandpa in the sky, and one day we're all just going to be up there together. And because the truth's not in him. All these false churches, a little truth, a lot of lies. All this TV stuff, a little truth, a lot of lies. You can bet if there's a lot of lies in that stuff, the devil's all over this stuff. And every TV show, I don't care who they are, is all full of lies. Deceit, lust, pride, arrogancy. I'm not telling you to throw away your TV set, because I got one too. I'm just telling you just how bad these things can be. I should be saying throw them away. Well, that's a hard thing to get a hold of. Oh, I got to have the news. There you go. The one good thing, well, no, that's probably not the one good thing either. They're full of lies too. So anyways, so he's full of lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. The devil has been deceiving people from the very get-go. And unless the Holy Spirit of God is leading you and guiding you and directing you, unless God has got you, unless you're wrapped up and hanging on to the truth of God's Word, we could all be so easily deceived, as we spoke in Sunday school. We could so easily be drawn to the wrong thing if it wasn't for that Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Now, that Holy Spirit ain't like a ball and chain that keeps you from going somewhere, but I'm going to guarantee you, when you go there, you're going to be totally miserable when you get there. Until you repent and get right. I got a bad news for you, though. Whatever goes in them eyes, it takes a long time to get it off your brain. It don't just go away tomorrow. Well, I repented, Lord, but, you know, it don't just go away like that. So if you think you want to go scan some thing somewhere and say, well, I can handle this, I'll get over this, believe me, some of the stuff you're going to see ain't going to just go away tomorrow. You're going to have a long time, and it's going to bother you, because the Holy Spirit of God will deal with you. And because I tell you the truth, I know somebody probably got mad at me just now, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Jesus said, I'm telling you just how the devil is. Now the Word of God right here is telling you just how the devil is. And because I'm telling you, there's some things out there that will hurt you. Some of you say, I can handle it, preacher. I can handle it. We got a Belk sales catalog yesterday. You say, Belk? Yeah. Do you know that Belk is full of pornography? Don't go there, guys. You ain't gonna look. You can check out one of these girls. They'll tell you, when you flip to the back page, accidentally on purpose, there's stuff there that we don't necessarily need to see. All the Sears Roebuck catalog. Do they have Sears Roebuck catalog? All those in the old days were full of pornography. we have to be careful. Yeah, it's a sales catalog. Yeah, but do you really have to show all that to get a pair of drawers sold? I don't know. But that's the way they do it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And which of you convinces me of sin? In other words, who's going to point at me and tell me how wicked I am when you can't even do what you're supposed to do yourself? And we could take this on and on, but I want you to understand, the devil is a liar. The devil is a murderer. And the thing the devil would love to do is tear each and every one of you up. And those that are not born again right now, he would love to run your life. Not that you can't be saved, not that God can't save you from something, but he would like to run your life right now. He would like to get you involved in things right now that will stay with you forever. The devil is a liar. The devil is a murderer. And the devil would like to run each and every one of us. But Jesus came to save sinners. And the reason I did the first and the last is because I want you to understand, this woman called him Lord. This woman undoubtedly had repentance and understood who Jesus was. And she was forgiven of her sin. But on the other hand, he told her, go and sin no more. Jesus died for every sin. And it breaks my heart when I do sin now, because I say, oh man. And I know he already paid for it. But yet in my mindset, because I can look back because I have a little bit of knowledge, if I had not have done that, he wouldn't have had to suffered quite as much. Have you ever thought about that? If I hadn't just done what I just done, he wouldn't have suffered quite as much as he did. Because he even suffers for every little thing that we do. Just the little things we do. It didn't have to be a great thing. He suffered for all things. Every sin we ever did, he suffered for it. And for us to nonchalant, well, you know, I just feel compelled, I got to look at that catalog one more time. He suffered for that. You say, well, wasn't that bad? Yeah. But he suffered for that. So I would say, do like this woman. Understand that he is Lord. Understand that he is Savior. Understand that he has the power to forgive sin. All sins. See, when you go to the judgment seat, you don't just get judged on the one sin. You get judged on all sin. Thank God at the great, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm just going to get judged for good works or bad works. Not for one single sin. Not one single sin will be brought up at this judgment seat of Christ. For the believer, it'll be whether you did good works or bad works. Not one sin will ever be mentioned. Because you know who the sin bearer was? Jesus Christ. Because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, when he called me out of darkness, I trusted Jesus Christ. I will not have to answer for one single sin. All those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will never answer for one single sin. That don't mean go and sin no more. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But I'm saying, for those who believe, they will never have to worry about sins. Because we have a Savior that was so big and so powerful and so strong that he could bear every sin of all of his children. We didn't overload him. We didn't overpower him. He didn't have to have a little help later and say, well, if Charlie would just help me with this thing. He covered every single one right by himself. I admit I'm weak. I'm glad I got him. I don't want to stand in front of a holy God and say, I got this thing. Let me tell you what I did and why I did it. That's what the great white throne is going to be like. The only thing is, you're not going to get to talk about it. It says every mouth's going to be shut. You're not going to have no lawyer. You're not going to have an advocate. You're not going to have some friends. Oh, but you know how he was. He's just a good old boy. Good old boy stuff won't save you at the great white throne. Good old girl stuff won't save you at the great white throne. But the blood of Jesus Christ can keep you from the great white throne.
Amen.
Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Brother Keith.